Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine. Sana.
Hi, Nana.
Hi, Sumaya.
Hi,
Sumaya.
Sumaya.
Glad to see you're all here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you, Hanok.
We'll start in about a half a minute. I want to give people a chance to come.
Okay.
I guess we'll start.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
I'm going to mute.
Okay. Okay. We're going to start with a L'shem Yichud, but before that, I'm going to describe where to find the handouts. On the Hashem website, underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem web page, there's a link called the Unique Astrological Times. When you open that up, and on a mobile device, that will be at the bottom of the page generally. When you open that up, the scroll down about more than halfway to where it says preparation for the spring holidays. And the third link under that title is Zion Adar, the Hilulah for Moshe Rabbeinu. That's where we will start tonight. We will also be using above that title, my mistake. The first link under that title is the preparation for the holidays of Purim and so forth. When you open up that landing page, please look for the link that ties into Shabbat Zachar. And that's about 2 inches down. And a third page that we will be utilizing tonight is the online Zohar Sulam available at the website zohar.com. That when you get to Zohar.com, across the bar at the top, there's a link that says Teachings. When you click on that, it gives you a drop-down box, and the first item on that is Complete Zohar Online, or Complete Online Zohar. If you click on that link, it opens up to a page that has two drop-down boxes. One is a list of all of the parashas, and we'll be starting with the parasha of Shemot. And then the second box, the second drop-down link, lists all of the different sections in that section of the Zohar. We're going to be starting with section 17.
Hanok, I'm sorry. I don't want you to go further, but I got lost when you say preparation from holidays of Purim, Pesach, Homer, and Shavuot.
Okay, when you open that up, go down about 50, 55, 60% of the way, and it says preparation for the spring holidays. The third link under that says Zion Adar.
Okay. Maybe I'm in the wrong one. Just mine says preparation for spring and summer holiday.
Well, are you on the unique astrological times link?
Yep. Well, let me go back. Unique astrological. Kabbalistic information about the month of Adar.
That's under the title that says Rosh Chodesh Adar.
Yeah, right.
So go the next one below that says preparation for the spring holidays. Do you see it?
Preparation. Wait a minute. My gosh, I got lost again. Preparation for the holidays of Purim, Pesach, Homer, Shavuot.
Okay, we will be using that link, but that's not where we are to start. If you go below that two links, it says Zion Adar, Hilulah for Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay, I got it. I got that one already.
All right, that one is the first one. Now, the second one is where you said the preparation for the holidays of Purim, Pesach, the Omer, and Shavuot.
Okay.
That's a landing page. Scroll down on that landing page till you find it says Shabbat Zachor, Z-A-C-H-O-R.
Shabbat Zachor. And this landing page, I see meditation for the easy fast.
Below Kabbalistic, that.
Kabbalistic preparation for spring, summer holiday.
Below that.
Kabbalistic preparation from a spring and summer holiday class 2.
Below that.
Same thing, class 3, reading of Megillah Esther.
If you type in into the line that pulls up the page, the words Kabbalah, well, yeshem.com/Kabbalah-Shabbat-Zachor.htm.
Okay, yeshem.com/?
No, forward slash.
Okay.
Kabbalah, K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H, hyphen, Shabbat, S-H-A-B-B-A-T, hyphen, Z-A-C-H-O-R.htm.
Okay.
And then the third page we'll be using is from Zohar.com. I think you're familiar with that one. But if not, I'll wait until you get to it.
I got it.
Okay. So we're starting with the first one, which is titled Vayelech Moshe. And we're starting on page 3, where it says Hakdama, introduction. And it starts with a Hebrew phrase, Ma Shehaya Hu Shehiyeh. But I'm not starting yet, I want to do the L'Shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishki David Hilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Leakta L'shem Yudhe Bavadhe V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Konanei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Konanehu. The first action we do, because we're connecting to the Hilulah, the death anniversary, the day of joy, which is what the meaning of Hilulah is all about. We're lighting a Yortzeit candle, a Hilulah candle, for Moshe Rabbeinu, because this is his death anniversary. It's also his birth date. There is no blessing that you say. You light the candle and you meditate on Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the same actions you would do if it was your parents or a loved one that you were lighting a Yortzeit candle for. The Arizal has taught us, and you can read it on the handout, that this phrase from this verse, or the phrase from Kohelet, which is Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 9, whatever has been is what will be. Part of what the Arizal has taught us is that Moses was a reincarnation of Adam. Adam was the Mashiach. There was no need for the rest of us to be born into this world. We were part of the body of Adam and Chava. Adam was the Mashiach. When he sinned, he needed to reincarnate. And he reincarnated not just into one person, but into many. When Moses came, he was the Mashiach. If the people of the generation had been ready to go into the land of Israel, clean and cleansed and purified, Moses would have been the Mashiach. And that's the one of the meanings of this phrase. Ma shehaya hu shehiyeh. Whatever has been is what will be. It's describing a circle of history. It's describing a circle of history of your life. It applies to many, many different people, many different situations. But you'll notice the first letters of these three words is Mem Shin Hey, which is how you spell Moshe. Mem is a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's the middle letter, the 13th letter. There are 27 letters when you include the final letters. Half of 27 is 13 plus. The 13th letter is the Mem. The Mem is a mother letter. It created the right column of the Tree of Life. The Mem connects to water through the word Mayim. Mem Yud Mem. The letter Mem is spelled Mem Mem. So when the addition, Hashem adds his letter, his name, the Yud, meaning the activation, the Mem becomes water. Water becomes Chesed. Water and Chesed and the Mem go together. And this is part of the meaning of the name Moshe. The Shin is fire. The Shin created fire. And the Hay can be twofold. It can be the Bina level of consciousness, or it can be Malchut level of consciousness. Both of these relate to females. Water and fire are both in the physical world. And only in the physical world can you put these opposite things together as in a unified whole. How does a fire and a water come together in a unity? Only with a pot. Only with something between them. The fire heats up the pot, and the pot heats up the water, and you get boiling water, a useful tool. Only in the physical world. This is the name Moshe. Now I will start to read from this introduction of what we are doing tonight. Whatever we deem as new or novel has already been provided for in Hashem's infinite wisdom. And all the insights, the chidushim, the creative ideas from the Torah within the Torah, for the past 3,300 plus years, were all given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our teacher, by Hashem on the top of Mount Sinai. It is a basic principle of traditional belief of the children of Israel that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, may he rest in peace, was true, and that he was the father of the prophets, both those who preceded him, which were Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and Aaron, and those that followed him. The Rambam commentary to the Mishnah is explaining this. Moshe is both our first and our last Redeemer. The Mashiach is the Redeemer. Moshe was the first, and he will be the last. In fact, his name is hinted to in the first man, Adam HaRishon, whose name is a notericon, an acronym for Adam, David, and Moshe. The Torah ends the five books of Moses by reciting, "Never again has there arisen in Israel a prophet like Moshe, whom Hashem knew face to face, as evidenced by all the signs and wonders that Hashem sent him to perform in the land of Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants and his land, and by the strong hand and awesome power that Moshe performed before the eyes of all Israel." This paragraph, this phrase, this verse, is in the last parasha, known as Chazinu. Moshe Rabbeinu goes out, Vayelech. He walks among us and actively speaks to us daily. Did you hear him today? Were you listening for him today? There is one day in our Jewish life cycle that is set out for us to try to grasp the magnitude of this man, born of a woman, who became half angel. That day is the seventh of Adar. Why do we think that Moshe became half an angel? Because when he went up on Mount Sinai, he went into the cloud, and only the bottom half of his body was visible. This is from the Midrash. As we relearn every year during Purim, this was the day of his death, known to Haman the Rasha, the wicked, who picked it as the day for the destruction of the Jewish people. Fortunate for us, Haman neither knew that also the seventh of Adar was the day of Moshe's birth, which is a merit for Israel, nor that the yahrzeit of a tzaddik is a tremendously powerful spiritual vortex for the answering of prayers. Our job on the seventh of Adar is to bond with the soul spark of Moshe Rabbeinu that lies latent within every Jewish soul. To miss this opportunity is to preclude an important chance at self-renewal and self-education, the learning of personal insights inscribed in the Torah of one's own heart. Traditionally, one fasts on the seventh of Adar and accepts this fast at Mincha today, the afternoon prayer of today, namely to fast without taking a vow from Alot HaShachar, from dawn, until evening when the stars have come out. So important is this voluntary fast that the Ben Ish Chai, a Sephardic sage from the 1800s, says one should even do it on Erev Shabbat, when fasting is strongly discouraged. The lighting of a yahrzeit candle and the giving of tzedakah also is encouraged. The all-night learning of the attached tikkun is intended to stimulate inner reflection on Moshe Rabbeinu. We have translated and compiled the materials from both the Ben Ish Chai as well as the Sefer Korei Moed HaShalem. We too are indebted to our friend Pinchas, who graciously came through on short notice with a disc containing the Midrash Shemot Rabbah. All of this helped in the preparation of these 170 plus pages, which we will not read most of tonight at all. We're now going to transition to the handout for Shabbat Zachor. This coming Shabbat is Shabbat Zachor. It has a special name. The Sabbath of the males. The Sabbath of memory. The Sabbath of remembering. And coincidentally, and you all know that I don't mean a coincidence, I mean a connected incidence. Today's deep Zohar class was dealing with the concept of memory, remembering. And the Zohar in the verses that we read was explaining that remembering means mating. And so I recommend you listen to that class. It's not yet on the recording page, but it will be sometime tomorrow. Hopefully I'll do it before I go to sleep, but I don't guarantee that. Shabbat Zachor is an issue of halakha. Halakha means the pathway, the road to travel. It's a public road. Everybody can walk the path of halakha. Does everybody walk the same path? No. There are halachot, they're plural of halakha. There are suggestions for the Ashkenazi that the Sephardi don't follow. And there are suggestions for the Sephardi that the Ashkenazi don't follow. And there are halakha that comes from the Zohar that many people on both of those sides aren't familiar with because they don't yet study the Zohar. The Shabbat that includes the reading of Parashat Tetzaveh is the Shabbat prior to Purim in the normal calendar years. In the leap years, that parasha is itzav. This is for all 19 years of the calendar cycle. The halakha tells us it is a requirement. And the halakha never says requirement. It's very unusual. But the halakha says it is a requirement for every man and woman and child to hear the Maftir Torah reading. It's only 3 verses long. And to both read and hear the Haftorah, which is the reading to Shabbat Zachor. Whatever parasha it is, whether it's Tetzaveh or it's Tzav, the reading of the Haftorah is the same. Halakha is a Hebrew word that gets translated as law, but it's just a pathway. It's a recommendation. It's a strong recommendation. It's a recommendation from Hashem. But in our generation, most people, if they accept that, still are influenced by the people around them and don't always follow it. We are human. We make mistakes. The Maftir. The Maftir is the part of the Torah reading that is considered the sending away. This reading connects the Malchut, or the seventh reading, to the Haftorah reading. On Shabbat Zachor, it is a reading of three verses from Deuteronomy. They are in chapter 25, verses 17, 18, and 19. The verses start with the word Zachor, which means to remember. The same letter, same letters mean male. The name of the Shabbat gets its name from the first word in this reading of the Maftir, which is the normal method of naming things from the Torah readings. Here are the three verses in Hebrew and in English. Verse 17. Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek v'derech b'tziyatchem b'mitzrayim. Verse 18. Asher korech b'derech v'yiznava. Vayezanav Bach Kol Hanachashalim Acharich V'ata Ayef Vayega V'lo Yira. And verse 19 V'chaya V'chaniach Adonai, or I should say Hashem, Alichecha Lecha Mikol Ayavecha Masaviv Be'eretz Asher Hashem Elohecha Natan Lecha Nachala Lareshata Tamicha Et Zachar Amalek Matachat Hashemayim lo tishkachach. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, as ye came forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, all that were enfeebled in the rear, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not Hashem. Therefore it shall be, when Hashem thy God hath given thee rest from all of your enemies round about, in the land which Hashem thy God giveth you for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget. God was telling the children of Israel, you're going to have to fight for the land. I'm giving it to you, but you have to work for it. I'm giving you the endless world is another way of understanding this discussion. God says to the children of Israel, I'm giving you the endless world, but you have to work for it. Do you think that these verses have a meaning other than the simple meaning of the words? The answer is yes, they do. They have a very significant meaning that deals with the spiritual growth of every human being. And this is why the halakha reads the way it does. When we realize that the nation of Amalek has the same gematria as the Hebrew word safek, which means doubt, everything becomes clear. Doubt is the antithesis of Hashem. Hashem has a plan which we call the plan of creation. This plan has absolutely no room for doubt within it, because doubt in your life is what causes you to remain behind. It causes you to not grow. It causes you to not be able to utilize the tools. There is no place in your life for doubt. If you allow doubt in your life, and we all do at one time or another, in one aspect or another, if you allow doubt into your life, you are minimizing the strength of the tools that you are utilizing. What do I mean by tools? The Anabakoa, the 72 names, the 13 attributes of mercy. All of these are tools. Your prayers, all of these are minimized, are affected by any aspect of doubt that you have in your mind when you utilize that tool. Amalek is in you, and it's in me, and it's in every human being until we eradicate it from ourselves. This is why we have to hear those three verses from the Torah, so that we can eliminate doubt in our lives. We only have to do it once a year. But the community that you hear it with has to be quiet so you can hear every word perfectly. And the person reading it needs to have the consciousness of a Kabbalist, for you to get as much of the energy necessary to remove Amalek from your life as possible. This must be read before the Megillah reading. The question needs to be asked, why do we have to hear the maftir of these three verses before we hear the Megillah? Because the reading of the Megillah is telling on its surface level a story of chance, of lots, of dice, of coincidence in the modern vernacular. There was never any coincidence. There was always incidents that were connected, which is what the meaning of coincidence is. But we don't perceive them as connected because we see them separated in time and space and in motion. Let me repeat that in a different way. We see incidents disconnected by time, disconnected by space, and disconnected by motion. Nowhere in the scroll, in the story of Purim, does Hashem's name appear. But everything in the story, every incident, is connected by Hashem and our certainty that Hashem is in our lives. People who want to see Hashem is there, to see throughout the scroll, and throughout the story, people need to see this, but it's not there. So how do you see what is not there? As students of Kabbalah, you should know the answer. How do you see what's not there? By looking with your third eye, by looking with the other five senses that you've never heard described, the psychic sense of seeing, the psychic sense of hearing, the psychic sense of touch, the psychic sense of taste, and ultimately the psychic sense of smell. The Megillah reading is about the story of chance. It's a story of turnabout, and it's a story of concealment that will be revealed. Nowhere is the name of Hashem written in the scroll, as I said. But in order to see Hashem behind the incidents, we have to remove doubts, because people have a choice. They can see those incidents connected. They can see Hashem's hand behind the incidents. Or we can see them as, this is what happened in history, and it just worked out that way. And unfortunately, there are people who think like this. I think I may have told you a story, but if tonight I'll repeat it. As I was studying Kabbalah, and I was moving away from studying with the, and davening, praying with the Kabbalah Center, I attended a minyan, and I chose this minyan for a simple reason. I experimented with a lot of different minyans, but this one had students from the Reform community studying to be rabbis, and students from the conservative community studying to be rabbis. And I felt the unity of that minyan was to be beneficial for the Jewish people. So I chose this community. And it was lay-led. There was no ordained rabbi. They were all students to be rabbis, except for two people. There was the teacher in the conservative movement on the Talmud, an expert in Talmud, and there was me. Nobody knew what I was doing there. But every week there would be a different student rabbi giving a drash, giving a sermon. Every week while I was attending, there would be someone else who led the prayers. There would be someone else who read the Torah. So I was listening to this sermon, and coincidentally, it was a sermon on Shabbat Zachor. And the student rabbi was expressing how she trusted Hashem. She had faith and belief. Never used the word certainty, because it's not used in these streams of Judaism, only in the Kabbalah. Is it used? She had faith. She had belief. There is a God, and he is involved in her life. But then she got a cold. Then she had a car accident. And she could not accept that Hashem was involved in those incidents. That's just circumstance. That's just coincidence, was her statement. This is what people who do not study the Kabbalah are exposed to. I'm not saying she's wrong, but she's wrong for me. And it's up to you all to make those determinations for yourself. And the Torah reading of Shabbat Zachor helps you to do that. It helps you to decide? No. It helps you to be able to see Hashem's hand behind all those things that she couldn't see. If you want to see Hashem in the Megillah, you will see it. It's not there, but you will see it. It is there. There's a certain place where the first letters of four words in a row are Hashem's name. But who notices that? The computer does. We have a program that helps us determine the first letters. We have tools to be able to do that. Yes, we can notice it, but we usually don't. Let's turn our attention to the Haftarah. The Haftorah is read from the first book of Samuel. It's chapter 15. The summary of the story and the specific words and verses that will help relate this story to you. The essence of the reading. The simple story is Hashem sends the prophet Samuel to speak to the king Shaul. Samuel tells Shaul that it is time to destroy Amalek. Samuel tells Shaul that Hashem orders Shaul to go to make war on Amalek and destroy every man, every woman, every child, and all of the infants. And also specifically four species of animal wealth, which are cattle and sheep and camels and donkeys. Now let's understand something very deep, but very, very easy to comprehend. Every verse in the Tanakh applies to every human being in every generation. Shaul was ordered to destroy the doubt in you. How could Shaul do that? Because it's not Shaul, it's the energy of Shaul that destroys the doubt, the Amalek within you. By listening to the reading of the Haftorah, you're receiving that energy. And it's assisting you in destroying those doubts. Why did Hashem tell Shaul through Samuel to destroy this animal wealth? Let's suppose you had $1 million in dollar bills. And Hashem told you, go ahead and burn it. Would you burn the $1 million? But Hashem told you to do it. King Shaul, he wasn't a man who desired wealth. He was a relatively humble man. Why didn't he burn the four? And we will come to understand. But the test was, will you trust me to provide for you? And we have that test all the time. So King Shaul raises an army of 200,000 men, and he makes war on Amalek. Hashem grants him the victory, and victory after victory, until he captures alive King Agag, the king of Amalek. King Shaul kills all the people. He follows what Hashem said, partly. He killed everybody, man, woman, and child. But he didn't kill Agag. And Shaul also kills all of the animals except the best which he plans to sacrifice to Hashem at the location of the temple. But there was no temple. It was still what was built in the desert. And right then in his generation was ensconced in Gilgal, a village, a city. Hashem then tells Samuel to go to Shaul and tell him that Hashem is aggrieved at Shaul since he did not listen to Hashem and follow Hashem's instructions exactly. When Samuel catches up to Shaul, who is celebrating over the victories, Shaul welcomes Samuel and tells him, I did what Hashem told me to do. Does this sound a little bit like modern times, where you have the newspaper, the industry saying, I fact-checked President Trump, and he didn't tell the truth? This is what Samuel heard. Samuel told Shaul, kill everything. Shaul says, I did kill everything. But was it the truth? King Agag is still alive. The best animals are still alive. From this and other statements, Samuel realizes that Shaul, the king, has lost his kingship over the children of Israel. And he tells him so based on what Hashem has told him. How can Shaul tell Samuel that he did what he was told, when in fact he did not? What can you learn from that? Do you tell the truth? Not to other people. Do you tell the truth to yourself? About yourself? This is the message of Shabbat Zachor. The Midrash explains that Shaul as the king has a level of prophecy and that he made his own calculation. He saw in his prophecies the future, that the situation would arise that would be recorded in the scroll of Esther. In that situation, he perceived that the plan of Hashem needed some survival of Agag's prophecy in order to manifest that vision that he had, that dream that he had. This was a calculation similar to what we all do today. If we see or hear of a prophecy, they think it must come true. But that's not true. Only positive prophecies must come true. Negative prophecies do not need to manifest. The Jews would not need to go through to the Purim parties of Ahasuerus if Amalek had been destroyed by Shaul. Then there would be no need to save them, since there would not have been any negative decrees that would cause the death of all the Jews in the world. There are other spiritual lessons in the Haftorah. One of these is about a person's belongings. A belonging of a person takes on the attribute of that person. Amalek has the essence of doubt. Therefore, the animals of Amalek have that same essence. Doubt is a cancer. It spreads. It must be wiped out completely from each and every human being. This means that each of us must wipe out our own doubts, which is what creates the ultimate blockage to reaching the level of consciousness called mind over matter, a tool that we all can grow to use. We just have to wipe out doubt. How do we wipe out doubt? How do we grow our certainty? The Hebrew word, the Aramaic word is vadai, spelled Vav, Dalet, Aleph, Yud. Use a shiluv, intertwine Vav, Dalet, Aleph, Yud with your name in Hebrew letters. Put those two energies together, you meaning your soul, which is your name, and vadai, certainty. Draw the energy of certainty into your soul. Certainty removes doubt. It's easy to do. Let the Hebrew letters do the work. All you have to do is learn to draw Hebrew letters. 7 or 8 or 9 Hebrew letters. How difficult can that be? If you need help, give me a call and I will help you. So how does certainty connect to death? It removes death. How does doubt connect to death? It strengthens death. And it's up to you. In order to live 300 plus more years, you have to remove doubt. There is a 72 name, Ayin Resh Yud, that removes doubt. Why does Ayin Resh Yud remove doubt? First off, one has to realize the yud at the end of the name means my. It's a personal pronoun. Then what you have is the letters ayin and resh. Ayin means your eyes, but it also means Kabbalistically chachma, wisdom. My wisdom of the rosh. The resh, my wisdom of the head, my head wisdom. Reverse those letters. Resh ayin spells the word ra, which means evil. Rasha, evil, evil person. By meditating on ayin resh yud, we eliminate, we change any evil action that we did because we're reversing the letters. I have taught you, I have said to you that people get fat because Satan comes in and changes around the letter sequences of the food that they eat. This is what we're doing in reverse. Ayin resh yud. See the head. See my head. See, representing wisdom. The wisdom of my head. Utilize that. Put that three-letter sequence interspersed. Shiluv with your name. Why does that name have a vaccine against doubt? Because it connects to the end sequences. Its gematria is 280, the same gematria as the five final letters. Mansapach, Memsofit, Nunsofit, Saditsofit, Peitsofit, Kafsofit, Mansapach. This is why the Torah, the Halakha, says, listen to the Maftir, the Shabbat. I hope you will. Now we are going to go to section 17. Starting with Pasuk 176. And I just want to check a sense to make sure that I'm in the right location. And I'm sorry, it is section 19. And there went the man of the house of Levi. But it is verse 176 that we will be reading. And since these sections are dealing with the birth of Moshe, the story of Moshe, we're going to run this class as our deeper Zohar class. So as you listen, think of the questions that you think might be appropriate to ask. And then unmute your phones and ask them. Vayelech ish mi beit levi, Rabbi Yosef patach, Todi yarad legano learogot habos set ligomer legano da Knesset Yisrael begin dehio arugat habos set abo habosem. Tehi kalila mikol zine usmin v'reichin pialma diate v'shata deku chabrichu nachit leginta dako inun nishmat chon tzadikaya mit atran taman kuhu yahave recha kema da vereach shema naicha miko basamim ilein inun nishmachon v'tzadikaya Te'amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Kol inun nishbatin, Te'tzadikaya, Te'yahu, Pechai alma, Ve'kol inun nishbatin, Tizminin lenachata, Le'hai alma kuhu. Begin ta da kaimin. And there went a man of the house of Levi. Rabbi Yose opened the discussion saying, My beloved has gone down to his garden, to the bed of spices. His garden is the congregation of Israel, which is the Nukvah, because she is a bed of spices. Included with all kinds of spices and fragrances of the world that is coming, which is Bina. At the time that the Holy One, blessed be He, descends to this garden, which is the Nukvah, all the souls of the righteous adorn themselves there, meaning that they receive mochin and illuminations. They also exude fragrance, as is written, the smell of your ointments, then or from all spices. These are the souls of the righteous, who are called spices. And after them, the Nukvah is called a bed of spices. For Rabbi Yitzhak said, all these souls of the righteous who were in this world, and all the souls that will descend in the future to this world, are in this garden, which is the Nukvah. I remind you, I mentioned the psychic ability, the psychic sense of smell. Now, questions, comments, thoughts on this verse. Would anybody care to share? Unmute your phones by pressing *6. Remember, the question is the vessel to reveal the answer. You want to connect to Moshe, ask a question. If it's not this pasuk, it'll be another one. How do you connect to Moshe? Take a mem and a shin and a hey and intertwine it with your name. That brings Moshe, the soul of the Mashiach, into your soul. Do you want the Mashiach? Or are you like other people who don't, who may say they want the Mashiach, but their actions don't show it? Verse 177. I hope I'm still connected. I assume I am. I haven't heard anybody calling. Haven't gotten any texts, so I assume it's clear that I'm still connected. So verse 177.
You're still connected.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Begin tadi beara kuhu kaimin bediukna vitsiutra. Tehau kaimin, behayama, besitra, veraza dait mesar, behakime ruha, denahit livne, nasha dehu, mesitra denukva, mit galfa tadir. Begilufa behai kotam tziura degufa devarnash behai alma palit levar perucha itgalif legoi kadit pashat rucha min gufa hahu ruach Balit Begin ta dara, betsira, udyukta, tegufeya, mamash divhai alma, begin de hawa tadir kachotam. In the terrestrial Garden of Eden, they all refrained. They all retained the form and image that they had in this world. And their secrets and their mystery were given over to the sages. The spirit that descends to people, which is of the female side, is always engraved on like a seal, whose letters are etched. This is because the form of the body in this world protrudes outward, and the spirit is engraved internally. When the spirit removes itself from the body and ascends to the terrestrial Garden of Eden, that spirit protrudes in the terrestrial garden, in the Garden of Eden, in the form and shape of the body exactly as in this world, because it is always like a seal. Questions, comments, thoughts. Verse 178. Kachotam machotam galif begilufa legoy veitzayar betziura belita levar ufakihi rucha tachawa mesitra dila kehai gavna mamash Behai alma galif, begiluta lufa, legoi vikadit bashat, min gufa veal, kenigin leginta, diara avira, deta man balit, ahu gilufa. Beit Zaira Lavar, Beit Zayar, Betsiura Belita Lavar, Begeke Gavna Betsiura, Begufa Bahai Alma. And therefore she said, set me as a seal, as a seal is engraved inwards, and that which is sealed takes shape with an outward protruding form. So is the spirit that is from her side in that way exactly in this world? It is engraved inwards, as written earlier in the previous verse. When it removes itself from the body and enters the terrestrial Garden of Eden, in the air there meaning that it cleaves there to its level, which is the spirit in the Garden of Eden, protruding from that engraving which is inwards, to assume a shape it takes, a shape with a form that protrudes outwardly, as the configuration of the body was in this world. Questions, comments, thoughts. Do you realize that what's being described is your spirit is pushing your body parts out to fit its shape? As men age, their belly pushes out. As women age, sometimes from breastfeeding, but others for reasons, their breasts don't stand up as straight. What's causing that is the spirit. The shape of the spirit is changed by the corrections that you make for and with your spirit. So visualize this spirit pushing out the forms of the body. The nose is pushed out. The eyes, there's a hole there. Same with the ears, but the ear lobes, they're pushed out. Visualize what the words are telling you. Questions, comments, thoughts. Pasuk 179. Nishmeta dehi meilana techayayom itzayar taman leila v'ahutzarora techayelit anga v'noam Hashem kimadi atamar Lachazot b'noam Hashem uvaker kirker behekalo. The soul of the person which is born of the tree of life from Zeranpin is formed there above in that bundle of life which is Malchut, to delight in the beauty of Hashem, as it is written, to behold the beauty of Hashem and to inquire in His temple. Questions, comments, thoughts. Verse 180. V'yelech ish mi beyat Levi da Gabriel kemada V'ha'ish Gabriel asher ha'iti Bechazon v'gomer mi beit Levi da'kani T'yatya mesitra Dismala vayikach et bat Levi danishmeta. And there went a man of the house of Levi. This is Gabriel, as it is written. And the man Gabriel, whom I saw in a vision. The house of Levi is the congregation of Israel, which is Malchut, that comes from the left side, because Gabriel is from the left side, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, that is the soul. Questions, comments, thoughts. Do you know how we know that Gabriel is from the left side? Because on the left side you have the Sefirah Gevurah, the same spelling, the same sounds as Gabriel, the angel. Verse 181. Ditan enan bishata deit yalid hufa, tetzadik bechai alma Kuchabarifu Kareleya Le Gabriel Le Natil Ahio Nishmata Dibaginta Fenachtala Le Hai Gufa De Tzadikaya Le Iti Lid Behai Alma Le Ihi Eat the Ked Allah, the Natir La. For we have learned that at the time that the body of a righteous is born in this world, the Holy One, blessed be He, calls Gabriel. Gabriel takes that soul that is in the garden, which is Malchut, and lowers it to the body of the righteous man who is born in this world. And he, Gabriel, is appointed over it and guards it. Questions, comments, thoughts. We are discussing the reincarnation here. We're discussing the process of how the body comes into the how the soul comes into the body. It's growing in its mother's uterus, and Gabriel is guarding that body, and it's taking that soul and it's putting it in that body in the uterus. Verse 182. Vehite mahahu malaka, deit mana al ruhechon, de tzadikaya laila, shemeya viat amart, deihu Gabriel, akihu vadai, begindiate misitra, Dismala vikolman, de ate mesitra, dismala hakin, ikre. You may ask why the angel who is appointed over the spirits of the righteous is named Night, and yet you say that he is Gabriel. Most certainly his name is Night, because he comes from the left side. And everything that comes from the left side is called Night, but his name is actually Gabriel. Questions, comments, thoughts? So why do you think the angel Gabriel is called Night? Just because he comes from the left side? Does he only come out at night? Is that when the mating between husband and wife needs to take place? It's not appropriate to have sexual intercourse with your spouse during the daytime?
Vayelech ish da'amram, vayikach et bat levi, da'yokeved uvat kol nachtat, v'yamrat le'ya, le'izdavga badeha, kariv zimratna, tegur kana, v'yisrael, Amida dibra the each yalid minaihu.
And there went a man, this is Amram, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. This is Jochebed. A heavenly voice came down and said to Amram that he should marry her because the time for the redemption of Israel is near, and it will come through the son that shall be born from them. Questions, comments, thoughts. Verse 184.
Well, here are we getting to the birth of Moshe.
That's correct, but the others are all part of the birth of Moshe.
Mm-hmm.
They're just on the spiritual level.
Right.
Moshe comes from the book of Shemot,
so I could follow along. I couldn't find it on the internet, so. So I had to get up and get my Zohar, and I just found it. Okay, I'm going to mute again.
All right. Verse 184. Vitane nan shakinta sharya al arsayu uruta dilkon bidvakuta khadahawa babishkinta viadla itaude shakinta mehahu bira the only do the kai ma dikti the hit kadisha time faiten kadut kadoshim barnashtim kadash garmea mal milra kuchabarifu mikadesh leya Leela Kimadiruta Dilhon Hawa Bidvakuta Dishkinta Pakita Beka Shekinta Behahu Ovada Mamash Diavdu. And the Holy One, blessed be He, assisted him, for he learned the Shekinah dwelt on their bed, and that their intention when they cleaved together was on the Shekinah. Therefore the Shekinah was not removed from the son whom they bore, so as to fulfill what is written. And you shall sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy. A person sanctifies himself from below, so the Holy One, blessed be He, sanctifies him from above. As their intention was the cleaving of the Shekhinah, so did the Shekhinah cleave to their very actions. Questions, comments, thoughts.
I was never aware that Amram had been told that the time for the redemption had come and that a son would come through them. And it sounds like in this verse that they really had sanctified themselves when they mated, and because of it, because it says together, they cleaved together was on the Shekinah. So the Shekinah stayed with the child, which is Moshe, and because of their sanctification in the physical, the mating took place in the spiritual, and a holy child was born, and that's how we got Moshe.
Absolutely. It's a very powerful verse. It's a very powerful understanding. But if you if you're still trying to have children, the consciousness that you have at the moment of conception is defining what child you draw, what soul you draw.
Right.
So it's not that Amram and Yechaved were drawing the soul of Moshe. They were drawing the soul of Moshe because of the, it's the effect of their consciousness. It's not that he was told to do that. Yes, he was taught how to do that. As in the Kabbalah Center, when there are people getting married, if they ask the right questions, they get taught the right things. They get taught how to come together in unity, how to have their thoughts together at that moment of conception. It's a difficult thing to do. At the moment of orgasm, male or female or both, your consciousness is not on that pleasure, but on drawing a soul. And even if you are still married after menopause, when you come together in the physical with your husband, you are producing spirits, souls, aspects of Hashem that you carve off because of that unity. This is what we taught in reincarnation classes. This is why I find it so interesting. Because we need to understand all of that. You know, a lot of people will say there's no reason to have intercourse with somebody because after menopause, and it's not true. You need to continue to have intercourse as long as you are able, because you're producing souls that need your help to be created and therefore to start the process of correction. And there are still souls being brought down today that this is their first incarnation. Because after all, it's not that we have 7,000 years. We have 7,000-year periods. Verse 186. V'tahar ha'isha v'teled ben v'tere Oto ki tohu Mai ki tohu Amar rabbi chiyayo De'it yelid mahu Begin diraza Dimrit Tovi great diktiv imru tzadik kito. And the woman conceived and she bore a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly son, he asked, what is the meaning of that he was a goodly son? Rabbi Chiya says, the meaning is that he was born circumcised. Because the secret of the covenant is called good, as is written, say of the righteous that it should be well, it should be good with him. And the righteous is the secret of the covenant. Joseph HaSadiq is called the righteous Joseph. The whole idea of Joseph, the whole idea of righteous, has to do with Yesod. Moses has to do with Yesod. This is the beginning of his connection to the Sefirot, is his creation. Question 187. questions, comments, thoughts? Verse 187.
Rabbi Amar Nehiru Dishkin Tadinadir Beyahamat Div Shata Deit Yelid Eat Malya Kobeta Neho Radiktiv Vete Raya O Tokitohu Ukti Vayar Elohim Etaor Kito Vialda Kito Hukitiv Vikolahawa.
Rabbi Yossi said she saw the light of the Shekhinah that shone in him, for at the time that he was born, the entire house was filled with light, as it is written. And when she saw that he was a goodly son, and Elohim saw the light that it was good. And as good alludes to light, so here good alludes to light. And hence it is written that he was a goodly son. Everything was included in him. He contained the light of the Shekhinah. And also, as was written earlier, he was born circumcised. Questions, comments, thoughts? I am going to take a break for about 7-8 minutes, and then I will be back. If you're going to stay connected, please remember that it's being recorded.
Okay, I'm going to mute again.
When we come back, we will start with section 20. And she hid him 3 months. section 20 of the Parasha of Shemot from the Sulam commentary of the Zohar. As soon as I get my scrolling working, we will start. Verse 176. Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, Rabbi Yosef patach dodi yarad lekano, learugot abosem, wigomer lekano, da Knesset Yisrael begin dehiyo. Aruga. Arugat lehabosem dehi kalila mikol zine busmin verechin vialma diate Peshata de Kuchabrihu Nahit Legainta Takolinun Dishmat Hom De Tadikaya Mit Atran Taman Kuhu Yahave Recha Kemadia The Reach Shemanaich Shema Naicha Mikol Besamim Ileninun Nishmat Chom Tetzadikaya Yamar Rabbi Yitzhak Kolinun Nishmatin Tetzadikaya Dehawo Behayalma Vekolinun Nishmatin Dizminiyan Lenachta lehai alma Uhu begin ta'da Kaimin. There went a man of the house of Levi. Rabbi Yossi opened the discussion, saying, "My beloved is gone down to his garden, to the bed of spices. His garden is the congregation of Israel, which is the Nukva, because she is a bed of spices. Included with all kinds of spices and fragrances of the world that is coming, which is Bina. At the time that the Holy One, blessed be He, descends to this garden, which is the Nukva, all the souls of the righteous adorn themselves there." Meaning that they receive mochin and illuminations. They all exude fragrance, as it is written. The smell of your ointments, them or from all the spices. These are the souls of the righteous who are called spices. And after them, the nukva is called a bed of spices. For Rabbi Yitzhak said, all these souls of the righteous who were in this world, and all the souls that will descend in the future to this world, are in this garden, which is the Nukva. Questions, comments, thoughts?
So we all came from the bed of spices?
Yes. We all come from the bed of spices, which is the Nukva, which is in the world of Atzilut.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is an opinion that the souls of the other nations come from a lower level. But the souls of the children of Israel, and that doesn't mean if you were born into someone that's not Jewish and then you convert later. Those converts are considered Jewish, and they've come with that. They come from that souls that come from the world of Atzilut, from the Malchut of Atzilut. Verse 177. Badiyukna Ditsiura Dehawu Kaimin Bahayama Desitra Viraza Dait Masari Misar Bahakime Ruha Dinahit Livne Nasha Tehu Mesitra Denukba Mitzgalfa Tadir Begilutba Bechai Chotam Tsiura Degufa Devar Nash Bechai Alma Balit Levar Leverucha Itkalif Legoi Kadit Pashat Rucha min gufa, ahu rucha ruach, balit. Beginta diara betziura udyukna, de gufa ya. Mamash divchai alma, begin de hawa tadir. In the terrestrial Garden of Eden, they all retain the form and image that they had in this world, and their secrets and mysteries were given over to the sages. The spirit that descends to people, which is of the female side, is always engraved on like a seal, whose letters are etched. This is because the form of the body in this world protrudes outward, and the spirit is engraved internally. When the spirit removes itself from the body and ascends to the terrestrial Garden of Eden, that spirit protrudes in the terrestrial Garden of Eden in the form and shape of the body exactly as in this world, because it is always like a seal. Questions? Comments, thoughts. Verse 178.
V'yaldamra ihi simeni kachotam. Machotam galif, begilufa legoi, beitzayar, betiura, belita, levar ufaki, ihirucha dehawa, mesitra dila, kehai gavna mamash, behai alma galif, begilufa. Legoy v'kad it pashat min gufa v'al beginta Piara avira tetaman balit ahu galufa leitzaira levar veitzayar betiura belita levar kegavna tetzayura degufa behai alma.
And therefore she said, set me as a seal, as a seal is engraved inwards, and that which is sealed takes shape with an outward protruding form. So is the spirit that is from her side in that way, exactly in this world. It is engraved inwards, as written earlier in the previous verse, when it removes itself from the body and enters the terrestrial Garden of Eden, in the air there, meaning that it cleaves there to its level, which is the spirit in the Garden of Eden, protruding from that engraving, which is inwards. To assume a shape, it takes shape with the form that protrudes outwardly, as the configuration of the body was in this world. Questions, comments, thoughts. Verse 179.
Are we repeating for a reason?
Say again?
Are we repeating the verses for a reason? This is what we read before you took your break.
Well, thank you for pointing that out to me, because I didn't realize we were saying them over.
We skipped 185, and then we were supposed to go to 20, section 20.
I'm in section 20, at least that's what I think I'm in. But I guess I'm not.
We were back in 19, at least according to Marsha Note. Maybe my volume is different from your reading.
Well, it wouldn't be that different.
Okay.
Is the title of your 20, and she hit him 3 months?
Yes.
And what's the first verse you start with?
At the very bottom, 188. There's one line, and then it goes on to the next page.
Okay. So let's skip section 20 and see if I can get to 21 and see if that starts at 188. No, that starts at 199. So let me see if I can find 188.
Okay.
Yeah, it finally caught up. Okay, verse 188. Thank you for calling that to my attention, Pana.
That's okay.
Vatitzpenehu Elosha Yirachim Gemu Yirachim Maikam Maire Amar Rabbi Yehuda Remez Hudekaramaz Dila Ishtamuda Moshe Bezichara Ilaha Ad Gimel Yerachim Dikti Bechodesh Hashlishi Dehakedain Ityahivat Torah Al Yado Vashikinta Itkalya Visharya Alola Enechon Dekola Diktiv Umosha Ala El Ha Elohim Faikra Elav Hashem Velo Yachla Od Hatsufino Diad Hahu Sheata La Ishtamoda Milule Bekud Shabarihu Ud Uhti Moshe Yadaber Veha Elohim Ya'anenu Bekod. And she hid him 3 months. He asked, what is the significance of 3 months? Rabbi Yehuda said, it is an allusion to the virtue of Moses not being recognized by the supernal radiance for 3 months, as it is written in the third month. For then the Torah was given through him, and the Shekhinah was revealed and dwelt upon him before everyone's eyes, as it is written. And Moses went up to the Elohim, and the Hashem called to him. This is what is written, and when she could no longer hide him, for until that time, his communication with the Holy One, blessed be he, was not known. And then it is written, Moses speaks, and the Elohim answers him by a voice. Questions, comments, thoughts? Did you ask the question, who is she? She hid him 3 months. Was that Yochaved? Was it the Shekhinah? Who was it?
Not just one, Yochaved, but it probably was the Shekhinah. What I thought of was very similar to the idea of being hidden in the ark, you know, to get out of
it is,
the negative.
It's very analogous to being hidden in the ark. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And always remember, what is the generation? What is the ark of our generation?
The Zohar.
It's the Zohar. Is the Zohar concealing you? The question you have to ask.
Well, this week while I was sick, what I would do was every time you had a class and you were doing the prayers, I put the phone on my chest.
Baruch Hashem.
I was too, you know, I didn't feel well enough to follow along, but I felt like my body could pick it up. And you said
and
have certainty, and I had certainty that it was going to work.
And it did.
And it did.
Baruch Hashem.
Thank you.
Thank you. Verse 189. Vatikachlo tevet tevat gomaya ramez al haron veluchot kayama alim begaveya tevat gome aron habriot Ihu v'tach mera Beha he mar uvazafet. Beha haron. Hawa mechupe. Mil gavu mil var. Rabbi Yehuda mar. Dahiyo. Oraita dechechel mira. Kucha berichu b'mitzvot aseh, u'mitzvot lo ta'aseh. She took for him a box, literally an ark made of papyrus. This is an allusion to the ark in which the tablets of the covenant came. An ark made of papyrus is the ark of the covenant, and daubed it with slime clay and with pitch, because the ark was overlaid inside and out. Rabbi Yehuda said, this is the Torah that the Holy One, blessed be He, inscribed with positive mitzvot and negative mitzvot. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Too loud.
Okay. Well, the metaphors are really, never saw all those metaphors before.
They're very powerful metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
Take them even one step further. There's this ark made of papyrus, which is, you know, a plant, basically. There's this ark made of papyrus, and into that ark a little baby is put. And now we have the Zohar come and say to us that the Torah is in that papyrus ark.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it saying to us? That Moses is a living Torah? That Moses is the Torah? Can I use the name Moses, Moshe, and be referring to the Torah? Verse 190. Vatasem ba'et hayeled elu Yisrael kedakinar. Yisrael vahohavahu v'tesem basuf tilahawo pikudei oraitahum ra lemebad atzuf sof tialu Yisrael liara lusof arbaim shanin Al Shifat Hayo Yior Al Memra Deinun Temori Moraita Behukala Yisrael. And put the child in it. These are Israel, as is said when Israel was still a youth. I loved him. And she laid it in the rushes. The Hebrew word is suf. So there was no obligation to perform the mitzvot of the Torah until the end. The Hebrew word is the suf. When Israel came to the land at the end of 40 years, by the river's brink, the Hebrew word is safa. Meaning, according to the speech of those who teach Torah and laws to Israel, because the word Safa is like the word language. The Hebrew word is Safa. And speech and the word Yeor, the river, has the meaning of Moré, teacher. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Oh, so it sounds like we were all in that little basket.
Well, What's in the basket is one sentence. It's a child, but it's also a teacher. It's it's also the laws of Israel. All of these words are all related to this one Hebrew word, safeh, which is samach pei hei. But with different vowels, it has different meanings. And they're all related to the child Moses. Are they talking about the child Moses, or are they talking about his potential of what he will become? What's important, the potential or the finished product?
But they're both. It's a
progression. Yes, they are both. They are both, but always remember we live in the world of action.
Right.
And if you had said what's important is action, I would have said yes, but you always have to remember the beginning. Because it's a circle. The end is in the beginning. The beginning is in the end.
The beginning is in the end.
Verse 191. Da mar vayelech ish da kutza barichu tiktiv Hashem ish milchama mi beit levi da kutza barichu atar tetachma Ila avahu nehar mit chabiran kachada vila mit parshin leal min mi beit levi diashre livyatan lechidu bialma hahidiktiv livyatan. Zeyatzarta l'shahek bo v'yikach et bat levi daku tshabrichu atar din chiru desichara bat nahir. Another explanation, a man refers to the Holy One, blessed be he, as it is written, Hashem is a man of war. Of the house of Levi refers to the Holy One, blessed be he, who went from the place where the supernal Chachma, this being the supernal Abba, and that river which is the supernal Ima, they join together and never separate. He went from the place of the Asod of the supernal Abba and Ima, of the house of Levi, is derived from the word Leviathan, meaning Yesod. He caused the Leviathan, literally the whale or the big fish, to dwell in this world to bring joy into the world, which is the Shekhinah. It is written, there is the Leviathan whom you have made to play therein, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. This is the Holy One, blessed be he, meaning the place where the light of the moon illuminates, which is the Shekhinah. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, that one is hard.
It's a very hard verse. It's basically taking this verse that says, a man from the house of Levi. And it's explaining those code words very differently. It's bringing verses from different parts of the Tanakh to explain the idea of what it means to be a man of Levi.
Okay, I got this connected. So I'm just coming back.
Go ahead, Juana.
I said I got disconnected, so I'm just back.
I was just explaining that it is difficult. It's a difficult verse, but because it's taking this verse, a man from the house of Levi, and it's looking at the word Levi, and it's expanding on it and bringing different verses that use that same word in different ways throughout the Tanakh. And if you play with the letters of Levi, it's Lamed, Vav, Yud. But the Vav and the Bet can be substituted for each other. So when you say the house of Levi, you're talking about the house of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
What is the house of the heart? The house of the heart is the body. Now you can begin to put these metaphors into a structure that makes sense. I didn't say it was easy even then, but it makes it easier. Verse 192. V'tahar ha'isha v'telet bein ha'isha v'day kada l'zot yikre yikare isha v'kad meita bat levi v'hakihu v'day v'ki bat levi Bekad meta Bahashi Ashta Isha Ela Hakiu Vadai Vahaki Olifna Ita Adla Izdavgat It Kariat Bat Peloni Batar the ish davgat it kariat isha v'haka bat v'isha v'kala hadarga ihu. And the woman conceived and bore a son. The woman, meaning the Shekhinah, is most certainly called a woman. As it is written, she shall be called woman. And this is the name of the Shekhinah. Originally, she was a daughter of Levi, which is Yesod of Abba and Ima, that is called Leviathan, as mentioned earlier. And it is certainly so, as Abba and Ima built the Nukva. Therefore, he asks, originally, she was a daughter of Levi, and now she is a woman. And he answers, it is certainly so. As we have learned that a woman is called the daughter of so-and-so before she marries, meaning by the name of her father and mother. After she marries, she is called a woman by her own name. And here, daughter, woman, and bride are all one level, meaning the Shekhinah. Questions, comments, thoughts? This is a very powerful secret about femaleness, about femininity. But you have to ask the question.
Well, it's expounding on the previous verse.
It is. It's giving you explanations for the previous verse. All mm-hmm. of a sudden, it can make sense. But then it goes on to something else. After a woman is married, she's called by her own name. She's called a woman. What makes her a woman? Sexual intercourse. Now that's not very, or maybe that's chauvinistic, but that's what it's saying. Who is the Shekhinah a daughter of? When the Shekhinah is Malchut, she's the daughter of Bina. But Bina is always connected to Chachma, so she's a daughter of Chachma and Bina. Who is the Shekhinah when she's a woman? She's the mate of Zeran Bin.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the Shekhinah when she's a bride? She's mating with Zeran Bin. The words of the Kabbalah is very exact. I'm just giving you a taste, and I don't even know it all. Verse 193. Vetitz Penehu Shelosha Yirachim Elain Tilat Yarchim Didina Kashya Sharya Bialma Umainin Hu Tamuz Avtavat Mai Mashma Ve'ad la nachat Moshe le'alma shekiach awayhu le'ela ve'alda ve'azdav gugat Be'ya shekinta mi'omachma de'it yalid Mikana mar Rabbi Shimon Ruchechon de Tzadikaya Shekichininun Leela Allah Yechemun Yechetun Lealma. She hid him 3 months. These are the 3 months in which severe judgment is prevalent in the world. And which are they? They are Tammuz, Av, and Tevet, in which there is no revelation of the Shekhinah because of the judgments in the world. He asks, what is he trying to tell us? And he answers that he is telling us that before Moses descended to this world, he was above with the Shekhinah. Therefore, the Shekhinah joined with him from the day he was born. From this, Rabbi Shimon derived that the spirits of the righteous were above in the Garden of Eden before they descended into this world. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, the month is symbolic because, Tevet is far away from Tammuz and Av, where Tammuz and Av are summer months. I know they're the negative months, but still, they aren't 3 months straight in a row.
You're thinking linearly. Who says that the 3 months are in a row. Look at it from the astrological signs. Where does the zodiac sign rest? You're in the spiritual world. The spiritual world is not linear.
Okay.
Who's to say she didn't hide him? He was born on the 7th of Adar, so the month of Tibet was his 7th month. And Tammuz and Av, is that his first and second month? Of the 9 months of pregnancy? And remember, if Moses is a first, if this is the first incarnation, which it's not, but we can consider it is, he's got 12 months to be gestated in pregnancy. He had a lot to do in this life, a lot of people to carry and take care of. Is it clear, Hannah?
A little. I have to really put you low because Tony came in and told me it was too loud. So I'm having a hard time hearing you. I'm having to put my voice low on my phone. So
I understand. You'll hear it on the recording. But always know it's very difficult. It's very difficult to break out of the linear thinking of the physical world. It is very difficult.
I just assumed that after he was born, it was 3 months after he was born, you know, that she hid him.
Most people read it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But here in the verse it says he's in the spiritual world with the Shekhinah.
Right.
Verse 194. Velo yachla od hatzfino, gomer lo Bechafat leya besimanaha, the mechede natir, meinun nune yama, the shatim, the yama rabba, diktiv sham remez, the ain mispar the eo. Chafat leya, lemecheve natir, minaihu bechafu, ikira ditrein, gavnin hiva'ur, beukam vianach, leya lemoshe, beinaihu diyistemoda. I am chon begin desamin, besalka benayhu, zimna achara lekabila oraita. And when she could no longer hide him, he asked, what is the meaning of she took for him a box made of papyrus? And he answered, she covered him with signs, so that he should be protected from the fish that swam in the great sea, meaning the klipot and the demons, as it is written, where there are creeping things innumerable. Also, the word for signs can always be read as letters. She covered him to be guarded against them, with a precious cover of two colors, white and black. The slime is white, which is the secret of the right column. And the pitch is black, which is the secret of the left column, that is mixed with Malchut of the attribute of judgment. Then the red in it converts to black, which is the secret of our sages, that black is really red that has been affected. And she placed Moses, who is the secret of the central column, among them, so that he should be recognized with them as the secret of Da'at, which is the central column, because he was going to ascend among them at a different time to receive the Torah. Questions, comments, thoughts? Verse 195. V'tired bat paro lirchots al hayor, tayhi v'yachya mesitra dismala, tezina kasha kemadiat amar lirchots al hayor, al hayor daika below al hayam. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. This daughter of Pharaoh came from the left side of the strict judgment, as it is written, to wash herself at the river, in the river and not in the sea. The sea alludes to Malchut of holiness, but the river is the attribute of strict judgment of the left side. And the Egyptians made it their idol. And since the daughter of Pharaoh bathed there, she was also of strict judgment. Questions, comments, thoughts?
It's alluding to the Nile?
Correct, to the Nile. That's the river.
Mm-hmm.
And the sea is the Mediterranean. And if the verse is explaining that the daughter of Pharaoh, Batya, is always connected to strict judgment, except when she did Teshuvah, as we will learn later. Verse 196. I will even go in a little bit more because I know that at one time you were called Batya. Batya has the meaning of the daughter of Yah. Yah is Yud-Heh, representing the higher worlds. The higher worlds are always in a frame of judgment, but it's not a judgment based on Gevurah. It's a judgment based on the right column. Because if you're a righteous person, you do a righteous action, why wait for the reward? Why wait for the effect? But if you do a negative action, you want to wait for the effect. You don't want that pain, that suffering, that chaos. But you can't have it both ways. You have to have the same system working for both aspects. Verse 195. V'tered bat paro lirchots al hayor tayhi v'yatya the sitra dismala, tadina kasha, kimadiat amar. Lirchot al hayor, al hayor daika, velo al hayam. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. This daughter of Pharaoh came from the left side of the strict judgment, as it is written, to wash herself at the river, in the river, and not in the sea. Did I read this already?
Yes, but that's okay.
Sorry.
Need to hear it again, I guess.
No, I think I'm just a little tired. Let's go to verse 196. I always say, when I was in the Kabbalah Center, they had a series of people, one after the other, who would read these verses. So the most that they read at a time was an hour and a half. So they were just trying to fight against the sleepiness instead of the energy that they have to expend to read it. So I'm fortunate enough to be able to do both sometimes.
Well, I'm just pleased I've been able to stay on without coughing. So.
Verse 196, but first I'm going to take a drink. Ve'itema ve'hakiti ve'ma'atcha asher hikita. Bo et hayor umo shelamacha elayamar v'kar ye'yar. Ye'or elayor hava v'ma'acha acharon. Ayin yud demoshe v'shav yeya kirach teihu aved. And you may ask, why then is it written, and your rod with which you smote the river? Moses smote only the sea, which the verse also calls a river. So the term river is not precise. And he answered, Aaron smote the river through Moses, and the verse considers it as though he himself did it. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Can we now move to the Yom Suf?
Yeah, they're saying here that the word river refers to the Yom Suf.
Mm.
And when I said earlier that the sea represents the Mediterranean, it really represented the Yom Suf.
Mm-hmm.
But this also alludes to hints at what we've talked about, is who is the cause and who is the effect. When you ask someone to go turn on the lights in the room and they get up and go do it,
mm-hmm.
Who turns on the lights? Is it you or is it the other person? And I'm going to leave that answer unsaid because by now you should know it. Verse 197. I'm glad you're laughing, Hannah. Nobody else seems to be. I'm sure they're muted. But,
Is there anyone else on?
I'm sorry?
You think there's somebody else on?
Well, I'll find out. I do have the secret.
I'm on.
Okay, well, don't leave it all up to me.
There are four others besides me. Three others besides you, Hannah.
There's just obviously a still here.
Kafe Gimel Vayimale Shivat Yamim Akare Hakot Hakem Et Hayor Beacharon Ha'ikahu Ela Aldiyata Mesitra Dekudja Berichu Karyeya Kirachare Akot Hashem Levatar Karyeya Bishma de Moshe Venaro Teha Pokot Al Yad Hayor Elaine's Shear Mashiryan Diatyan Mesitra Da. Similarly, it is written, and 7 days were completed after Hashem had smitten the river. Even though Aaron smote it, but since it came from the Holy One, blessed be He, the Torah refers to it as after Hashem smote. Thus, afterwards it is called in the name of Moses, because Aaron did it at his instruction. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. Are the other companies who came from that side of the river? Questions, comments, thoughts?
The 7 days are puzzling.
Say it again. The 7 days are what?
Puzzling to me.
It's referring, I think it's referring to the 7 days of the completion of the Mishkan, that Moses acted as the high priest because Aaron had not yet been invested.
Okay.
But it could be talking to a supernal week. It could be talking to many different things. Verse 198. Vatiftach vatirehu et hayeled vatirahu vatere mi baeleya. My Batirehu Amar Rabbi Shimon Leyat Lach Mila Yoraita Delet Bahrazin Ilaim Vayitlin Elahaki Olifna Tishima Demalka Umatronita ishtekach Beyavihu Rashimav Devav Hey Umiyad Vatach Mol Alav Goemer Advan Leila Mikan Ulhalela Tata Bar Machakira. And when she had opened it, she saw him, the child, and he asked, it is written, she saw him, but it should say she saw. Why then does it state she saw him? And Rabbi Shimon said, there is nothing in the Torah that does not have supernal and precious secrets. For this is what we have learned, that the mark of the king and queen, meaning Tiferet and Malchut, are found in him. It is the mark of the Vav He, for Vav is Tiferet and He is Malchut. Therefore it says, she saw him, literally, Tirihu, which is spelled with an extra Vav, and an extra hay. Immediately when she saw this, she had compassion on him. Until this point, the Torah talks about the supernal worlds above. From here and further, it talks about the worlds below, except for the verse, "And his sister stood." Questions, comments, thoughts? Section 21. I'm taking a break while my computer resets itself. I'm not getting it to reset. Tana, are you starting with verse 199?
Yes.
Okay. So verse 199. V'tata tzevachoto me'rachok v'gomer v'teta tzev Achoto, Achoto deman, Achoteya, dehahu, Zikara Lekneset Yisrael Achoti Kimadiat Amer. Heed Heli Achoti Rayati Marchok Kimadiat Amar Mirchok Hashem Nirali. And his sister stood afar off. He asked, whose sister? And he answers, the sister of he who called the congregation of Israel my sister, meaning Zeranpin, as it is said, open to me my sister by love, meaning the Shekhinah stood by Moses to guard him. Afar off is as it is written, Hashem appeared of old, also from afar, to me, meaning that keeping is not in the open, but rather hidden from a distance. Questions, comments, thoughts? You can also consider that those 3 months that we discussed a little bit ago, that those 3 months were afar off from Moses, that it wasn't from the standpoint of the sequential movement of time, but the concept that Moses was connected to the central column. And so the left column was afar off from him. Mm-hmm. And that's what the meaning of 3 months was dealing with. It's a different way, another way. It's one of the 70 ways of understanding the Torah. Verse 200. Mashma deinun zakayin adla nachtu lealma ishtamodan inun leila legabe kola vikoshakin moshe umashma name benishma techom Tzadikaya it meshaku me'atar ila akimadiokimna berazadmila olifna umashma piavem it lenishmeta kimade it avayem Lagu Fabiara Umashma Divakal Citrin Bain Leela Bain Letata Maid Bakar Venukva Atyan Kola Umishtahi Behauk Muha Raza Diktiv Tote Aretz Nefesh Hayad Nefesh Chaya Aretz Da Knesset Yisrael Nefesh Chaya Nafshe Di Adam Kadma Aila'a Yemadit Mar Ata Rabbi Abba Shakaya Amar Vadai Shapir Ta Amart Vihaki Hu Vadai Zaka Ulakeya Demoshe Neviya Mehemana Alpha She'ar Nevi'e Alma. It seems that the righteous are known above before their descent to the world. This refers to all the righteous, and all the more so to Moses. Therefore it is said of him, she saw him, spelled with He and Vav, which is the secret of the impression made by the king and the queen, as already mentioned. And it is also understood that the souls of the righteous are drawn from a high place, as we explained in the passage, and there went a man of the house of Levi, in which is the secret of Yesod of Hachma and Bina, which is a high place. The secret of this is what we learn from here, that the soul has a father and a mother, which are Zeranpin and the Nukva, because man is the Zeranpin and the daughter of Levi is the Nukva. Similarly, there is a father and a mother to the body on earth, and it appears that in all aspects, whether above or below, everything comes forth from a male and a female, and we have explained the secret of the passage, let the earth bring forth living creatures. The earth refers to the congregation of Israel, who is the Nukva. Living creatures, literally a soul, is the soul of Adam, as we explained, because Zeranpin and Nukva are father and mother of the first man, as we explained. Rabbi Abba came and kissed him. He said, assuredly, you are speaking beautifully, and it is definitely so. Furthermore, fortunate is the portion of Moses, the faithful prophet, above all the other prophets of the world. Questions, comments, thoughts? Verse 201. Amar v'tatetatav v'choto dahiyo hachma kimadiyat amar emor lechachma achoti at amar rabbi Yitzhak Me'olam la'it adiyat Gizrat dina me'alma Deha bekol sha'ata Deha wo Yisrael chatan Hawo hawadina me'katra Amnon Uvdein v'titach tzev v'choto marchok k'madiyat amar mirchok mira li. And his sister stood. This is Hachma, the Nukva, that is called the lower Hachma, as is said. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Rabbi Yitzhak said, the decree of judgment was never removed from the world. For every time that Israel sinned, judgment accused them. And then his sister stood afar off, for the Shekhinah distanced herself from them. As it is said, Hashem appeared from afar to me. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I like to think that Hashem is the Shekinah has distanced herself, you know, when we sin, but standing afar off, waiting for us to do teshuva and change our ways so that the Shekinah can come back to us. You know, that the sister standing afar off is being protective as well as, you know, offers protection there, looking over us until we come back.
Correct.
I didn't say anything about the previous verse, but I just thought it was so beautiful.
I agree.
To think that, you know, that Hashem sees us before, and we're known to Him before. I mean, we know those things, but when you see it in print, it means something to you, and that our souls are drawn from high places. And then just even the verse where it said, and it appears that in all aspects, whether above or below, everything comes forth from a male and a female. And, I mean, that right there just tears down everything about the man from Nazareth.
There are many places to shut that down.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's everybody has free choice in deciding what's right for them. I'm running a little low on energy, so
I think my nurse is going to fudge at me tomorrow if I stay up too much.
Well, tell him I thank him for that.
Well, I warned him, so.
So I'm going to wish all of you Chag Sameach, Shalom. Does anybody have any last questions about Moshe? About that to them?
I think I always used to feel like, you know, we had to feel like we left Egypt. But this time I feel like we were in the little basket with Moshe.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach. Shalom to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Shalom.
Shalom.